Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDTScouting.com, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Trevor, we're on a pod together. It seems like we've been alternating lately doing these Inside the War Room mock drafts. Good to have you back on, man.
I know. People don't get the duo anymore. This War Room series, you know, it's tearing us apart, man.
I know. I feel it in my heart, too, honestly. But we are real. I'm super excited about today's episode, because not just because you're on, too, but also because we have Joe Fan with us, senior reporter for the San Francisco 49ers, who's going to help us continue on the Inside the War Room Locked On NFL Draft mock draft series that we've been running. Joe, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Guys, I really appreciate you having me. This is fun.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Like, we all talk about this time of year, and we, you know, even whatever our capacity is in the media, you know, we're talking about the draft, we're thinking about it, and wherever the team picks that we're rooting for, whatever it might be. So we thought it would be cool to get inside perspective from people from all the different teams. So if people haven't heard the last couple episodes, we had Nathan Zagura on for the Browns. He picked Sam Darnold. John Schmielk picked Saquon Barkley for the Giants. Joe Caparoso and Connor Rogers picked Josh Rosen for the Jets. Zagura came back on for the Browns at number four to pick Bradley Chubb. Ben Albright picked Quentin Nelson for Denver, with Baker Mayfield on the board, by the way, and Josh Allen. Tremaine Edmonds, the Colts took him off the board at number six. And number seven, Scott Reynolds, PewterReport.com, Trevor's colleague, took Derwin James. Paige DeMacas over at FanRag Sports took Harold Landry for the Bears. And now, Joe, you are on the clock with the 49ers in what is going to be a super pivotal offseason for the Niners, obviously. The roster clearly moving in the right direction under John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan's leadership and guidance. As you look at this team and where they're at right now, we'll start on the offensive side of the ball just because I want to touch on it, because most people seem like they think this ninth pick is going defense. And the way the board's played out with Quentin Nelson off the board already, it seems like we're leaning toward a defensive pick here, perhaps. As you look at this board right now and where the 49ers have needs, focusing first on the offensive side of the ball, what do you think are the big priorities for them to address? Even though I know they did some things, what are the big priorities for them to address on the offensive side of things?
Yeah, offensively, I think, you know, you're looking at, you could add depth at running back. I don't think it's happening in the first round, especially with Barkley off the board. Obviously looking for, you know, some interior help on the offensive line. You can also start projecting to, you know, your tackle of the future, whether it's a left tackle behind Joe Staley, what's going to happen at right tackle with Trent Brown. This is the last year of his rookie deal. So both those guys, you know, not necessarily part of the long-term future as it stands. So anywhere on the offensive line, should they fall in love with someone, whether it's an Isaiah Wynn, obviously Quentin Nelson off the board. So at that point, you're probably reaching for an offensive lineman. And then wide receiver, if you can find that prototype, there's not a lot of size on the 49ers wide receiver core right now. But again, I also think if you're looking at who's on the board here at the pick number nine, you're probably reaching for a wide receiver. I think the 49ers' decision to not chase after Allen Robinson in that sweepstakes really tells you where Kyle Shanahan feels about his wide receivers right now. And really, you know, unless you're finding a Julio Jones, it's not worth throwing in the draft capital or the salary cap dollars, you know, and paying some guy who's not Julio Jones.
Yeah, no, just going back to the, now flipping to the defensive side, obviously we talked about a little bit there. They've got pieces. The 49ers have pieces, but sometimes you can look at this roster and say, well, this guy fits in this certain scheme. This guy fits in a different one. They're trying to, they seem like a defense that's obviously still trying to put it all together. So if you and we are correct here in thinking that this pick is likely going to be more on the defensive side, what are a couple of defensive prospects who you could see almost be, I assume they're going to want this prospect to be almost like a glue for a lot of these pieces that they already have to really start solidifying an identity for that defense. Who are a couple guys that you could see that being?
Yeah, for me right here, it's really a coin flip between three guys. I think you can go Roquan Smith, just such a stud in the inside linebacker position with the instincts, with the pedigree, coming from the program that he's coming from and the big games that he's played in. You know, we've seen it on the biggest stage with him. And I think you look at the two top guys in the defensive backfield that are still left on the board, and that's Minka Fitzpatrick and Denzel Ward. I don't think you can go wrong with either. Let me just make this very clear. I enjoy this quite a bit because we all, during this season, we figure out just how easy it is to be an NFL general manager. So I'm glad I have the opportunity to do this right now, because this job is really not that hard. I think, honestly, the way the board's shaken out, and obviously I know we don't have trades, and this is just going kind of chalk through 32. But when you look at the way it's shaped up right now, the 49ers are in a great spot because if a run of quarterbacks goes early, you're pushing down top tier prospects. You're getting a top five player. If quarterbacks don't go, like in this scenario, how this is playing out with Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield still on board, I would expect that my phone is starting to ring right now, whether it's the Bills at 12 or some other team looking to move up, maybe jumping the Dolphins, who are at 11. And if you can do that, that would be fantastic. You drop back three spots, and all of a sudden, you're still getting one of those three guys that I just mentioned before. Granted, that's not happening in this case. So I'm going to go. Do I make this pick now? Am I on the clock? Do I go?
Well, you're almost there. You still have a little bit of time on the clock. I am curious. I wanted to ask you one question, more question before we get to your actual pick, because I'm curious because this seems like we've heard about pass rushers in this range, and now Bradley Chubb and Harold Landry are already off the board. We know that, but Marcus Davenport, Josh Sweat, this is obviously too high for, but how big a priority is pass rusher really for the 49ers is my question, because they've spent first round picks on, I know it was a different regime, but DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead and now Solomon Thomas last year. And do you feel like, let's say hypothetically, Landry's on the board or they love a Marcus Davenport or something like that, do you think adding a guy to the defensive line, even as a pass rusher, is a big priority for them at this point? Or is it something they feel like they can wait until later rounds to do?
I think it's possible for sure. I just, without seeing, John Lynch's board, it's just so impossible to project because you don't know what they think of a guy like Harold Landry. I think he's such an intriguing prospect because the book on him, it's all over the place. You know what I mean? Like some people think he's a bottom end of the first round guy. Obviously, in this scenario, he's gone in the top 10. And so it's really going to be how teams feel about him, and it's going to be a team by team basis. So they might love him at that point. They might love a Marcus Davenport and his potential and that ceiling. Is it a bit of a reach for most at pick number nine? It would probably be perceived that way. But again, elite pass rushers, especially off the edge, are hard to come by, and you really need that complement to what Solomon Thomas and DeForest Buckner provide you. Real quick on DeForest Buckner, this guy's an animal. I mean, he's a step away from double-digit sacks last year. I think what he had less than five maybe. But I think he led the league. PFF put that out with 19 quarterback hits last year. I mean, he is unbelievable. He's already got a new nickname this offseason from guys he's been working out with. And that's instead of Defoe, it's DPOY, DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year. And it's something he's breaking. That's the bar he sets for himself. I'm telling you, you'll learn the name whether it's this year or next. I mean, this guy's on his way to becoming one of the more formidable defenders in this league.
All right. He's on the clock now, right?
Let's do it. I know he
We're
wants to
getting
get to
down to
that
it.
pick. Get to it, man. Let's do it.
We got to hear it. So number nine overall, San Francisco 49ers. Joe Fan, who are you taking?
I'm so nervous. This is incredible. What an honor. I'm going
No,
with
you said it was
Minkah.
easy. You said it was easy, man.
I know. Well, I lied to you guys. It's easy until you get on the hot seat. I'm going with Minkah Fitzpatrick out of Alabama. I just think he's a guy you can't miss on. And I think the three guys I mentioned you can't miss on, they're all incredible picks. The reason why I'm going with Minkah Fitzpatrick is because I think he's just a special player. And I think he's almost been devalued through this draft process because he doesn't have that finite position where when you're watching the national championship game, everyone's watching Minkah Fitzpatrick, like guaranteed top five player, book it, you're good to go. And now all of a sudden he's fallen to number nine. So I feel like I'm getting a steal right now in the draft. And what position is he? I'll tell you this, from what I gather, you're going to have to be creative with him a little bit. But you know what? That just puts pressure on your coaching staff. And that's how it should be. You should put pressure on your coaching staff to make the most of your players. And what is he? He's a matchup nightmare. And in this league that's losing its rigid positions, especially on the defensive side of the football, I want guys who are going to be a matchup problem. Because you know what the offense is doing? You know what Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay are doing? They're trying to get guys or mismatches. Who's going to guard Jerick McKinnon out of the backfield? Who's going to cover Evan Ingram, who's lining up as a wide receiver? Minkah Fitzpatrick can do both. And so I think he's a guy you have to have around the ball. He can make plays in the backfield and cover anybody. He's 6'1". He's got plenty of size. He's a guy, and again, you want to talk personality? You want to talk about bringing culture into your locker room? Everything I've read about this guy is that he's just a fantastic person, a fantastic kid, and would be a great addition both competitively and culturally into your locker room.
And is
I
there
like this
some?
guy, John.
Yeah,
I like it.
he sounds like
He's
he can be a GM, right?
picking talent, putting it on the coaching staff.
He sounds like he might be have a future as a GM, doesn't he? Joe, I'm curious though. What you look at this situation with John Lynch being a safety before, don't you feel like that resonates with him? Like, I just think there's something to be said for a guy who looks at safeties. Now, I know Derwin James off the board in this situation, but if Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick are both on the board, how they've both been described as all in on football, culture changers, you know, leaders in the locker room type of guys, physical players with, you know, that ability to do a lot of different things in the back end. Don't you think at some point he comes back to the fact he played safety? He knows what that role and what he did in the locker room and how much that meant for that Buccaneers defense and how much having a guy like that. I mean, they've tried some things with Jimmy Ward, Jaquiski Tartt's there, you know, he fills a role too, but it doesn't seem like they've found anybody that, you know, Adrian Colbert even contributed, but doesn't seem like they've found the guy that they can really say, this is our future, this is our rock on the back end. And I feel like I look at that when I look at John Elway and I look at the quarterback situation with Denver, and I feel like the unsettling there. I feel that way too when I look at John Lynch and this 49ers defense. I feel like he would sleep better at night almost knowing that there's a rock solid safety back there.
Yeah, I think what they've shown so far is that they're very good judges of talent. You're never going to bat a thousand, but I think, you know, both of these guys, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I wrote about it yesterday, actually. I mean, they view football through the same lens. And so when you have guys who have, you know, you look at John Lynch, who played for Kyle's father, Mike Shanahan, they both have experience, you know, with Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Monty Kiffin. I mean, these guys have been, their pedigree is really comes from the same place. And so, you know, I think with Kyle and his offensive acumen and John knowing exactly what he looks for, especially in defensive backs, like you said, John, I think it's a good recipe. And yeah, I think you've got to be salivating over some of these guys who are going to be there at the top of the draft.
Right, absolutely. He is Joe Fan, ladies and gentlemen, senior reporter for the San Francisco 49ers, and he just dropped some knowledge on us, GM style. Joe, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, guys, honestly, it was a treat, so I really appreciate you having me. Both of you guys do incredible work, and really appreciate you letting me be a part of this.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it, Joe. Really appreciate that, man.
Take care of yourself. Trev, we're rolling on. The mock draft situation rolls on. Ted Wynn coming up with the Oakland Raiders pick. Really excited to see what he does. That's a team with a couple needs. So until then, you keep it locked right here, folks, on Locked On NFL Draft. Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. John Ledyard here from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting. The Inside the War Room mock draft scenario rolls on. If you're just joining us, folks, and you haven't picked up on the last several picks, Sam Darnold went number one to the Cleveland Browns. Saquon Barkley number two to the New York Giants. Josh Rosen to the New York Jets at number three. Bradley Chubb to the Browns at four. Quentin Nelson to the Broncos at five. Tremaine Edmonds to the Colts at six. Derwin James is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer at seven. The Bears took Harold Landry, edge pass rusher, at number eight. Number nine, the 49ers, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Joe Fan takes him off the board. That leaves the Oakland Raiders on the clock with my good friend Ted Wynn, NFL staff writer over at The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at FB_film analysis. Ted, how you doing, my man? Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm doing good, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, big pick for the Raiders, obviously. Picking a 10, lots of needs and everything. But before we even get into that and the kind of the holes that they could fill at that spot, we got to talk about the changes that have happened here, obviously, with John Gruden coming in and bringing his staff, and Greg Olson and Paul Gunther are going to be here now. And, you know, it looks like it's a different approach than we've seen in the past. Even some of the offseason moves have been a different approach. Do you think that the changes that have been made on the staff are going to dramatically affect, obviously it'll affect maybe the types of players that the Raiders will draft to a degree, but even maybe what side of the ball the Raiders choose to address, especially early in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the scheme has changed. Defensively, they're going from a 3-4 defense to a 4-3 defense. They did a lot more two-gapping under Ken Norton Jr. and Pagano, and they're going to do a lot more single-gap bump-and-run coverage with Paul Gunther, so that's going to affect the type of defensive players they're going to choose. I think they're going to go defense just because the Raiders have so many holes on defense. Offensively, they'll be okay, even if they don't add any major pieces. But defensively, there's some major holes.
Is there anybody that was here offensively? I know the way that the board's played out right now. Let's make this a two-part question. The way the board's played out, would you consider anybody here offensively? And is there anybody offensively that really you would consider at all? You know, the only offensive players really off the board at this point are Barkley and Nelson, other than the quarterbacks. Obviously, they're not going to choose them. You know, if Barkley or Nelson were on the board, would you consider them? And the way that it's played out, do you think any offensive player gets considered here?
The biggest need on offense right now is probably right tackle. And I don't think there are any right tackles that should be in consideration at the 10 spot. And the other need is at wide receiver. And, you know, there are some intriguing wide receivers, but I don't think that there is a clear-cut number one that could be worthy of a top 10 spot.
So we really are zeroed in heavily on defense here at this point, and it makes complete sense because if you looked at the Raiders and, you know, there's been issues offensively, what's really derailed them is the fact that this group hasn't really come together defensively. As you look at the defensive unit, and there's obviously some talent here, some players you're excited about, what are the biggest couple needs to you when you look at the Raiders' defensive unit? So even just looking positionally at what they need.
Well, even John Gruden talks about how the Raiders need to get Khalil Mack an interior rush to help him alleviate some of the double teams, triple teams he's seeing. So that's probably the biggest need is an interior rusher. And the second biggest need is probably a linebacker. And obviously there's some intrigue choices in this year's draft, the linebacker position. And then cornerback, because they did sign some free agents, but Rashawn Melvin's on a 1-year deal, and they still need more depth at that position.
So you talked about pass rusher, and let's look at two names that make some sense here, at least to us. I know we're both big Maurice Hurst fans. We both love Maurice Hurst tape. I think he's clearly DT1. Does he make sense for Oakland? And also Harold Landry. I know they still have Bruce Irvin here. That would seem to be their two edges. There's been some talk about how whether Bruce Irvin will fit into the long-term plans in Oakland. For right now, is it enough maybe to pass on Landry, or do you think Landry and Hurst could both be considered and should be considered at number 10?
Was Landry taken by
Landry
Bears?
Was taken. You're right. Landry was taken off the board. But in a hypothetical situation where Landry was on the board, just for Raiders fans that might be listening and might wonder, you know, if Landry's available, do you think that's somebody we should consider? Do you think he should get as much consideration maybe as Hurst?
Yeah, most definitely. If you take Landry, then, you know, you can never have enough pass rushers in this league. And if you get Landry, you have some flexibility on what you want to do with Irvin next season.
Yeah.
And he could be a heavy part of the rotation. I think Landry is still developing. He's still a little raw. So if you draft him with the Raiders and you have Irvin and Mack, he doesn't have to be a three-down player right away. You could just have him be part of the rotation, have him in – you know, pass rushing situations. Then you have flexibility to move Mack or Irvin around, kind of like what the Texans do with Javion Clowney. So you could do some really interesting things on third down if you have three edge rushers.
And Hurst fit here. What do you think of Hurst fit in Oakland? I mean, obviously this is a team with, they've got some bigger bodies inside, but you're right, they don't really have that penetrating upfield, attacking three technique type of player. He could really give them something different.
Yeah, I love Hurst, and you know, we talked about this. I think Hurst is one of the best players in the draft. He'd be a perfect fit in Gunther's system as a one-gap defensive tackle. He's the best interior rusher, I think. And even the Raiders have Mario Edwards Jr., but he hasn't been, you know, he has been dealing with the health issues, and he started off last season hot and just kind of dropped off towards the end. He's in a contract year, so that might really motivate him to get going. But I think if you have Hurst in there, then you could give Mario Edwards Jr. some rest. You could rotate him in. There's less chances that he gets hurt if he plays less. And if he does play well, the Raiders probably can't afford him next year, so you have Hurst there to take that role from him as well. So I really like Hurst.
Yeah, I think it's a fit that could make a lot of sense too. Okay, linebacker. Tremaine Edmonds is off the board. I know that you talked about him a lot, and you had some reservations about him early on toward the end of the year. I think you came around as I did. Every other linebacker is still on the board, including Roquan Smith. A lot of people's LB1. How do you feel about the linebacker position and how the available players fit into what Oakland might need at the position?
I think it's pretty interesting that a lot of these mock drafts that I've been part of and that I've seen have Edmonds over Roquan Smith. I mean, like you said, I came around on Edmonds after watching his late season film, but I don't know if he's worthy of a top 10 pick. I think there's a lot of risk there still.
For sure.
Yeah, but having Roquan Smith there available at 10 is definitely tempting to take, especially since the Raiders haven't been great at the linebacker position for a while now. But I do have some concerns about how Smith handles blocks, and I know he could diagnose really quickly, and he was able to avoid blocks in college with just straight speed, and he'll juke blockers and that kind of thing. But I have questions on how that will translate to the NFL, especially in a division that likes to run the ball a lot, like in the AFC West. And I think if you draft him, you have to have a really beefy defensive line in front of him to protect him. I don't know if the Raiders have that. So that's why I have some reservations about drafting Smith to Oakland because of the physical division and the fact that the Raiders' defensive line is not great yet.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. And there is obviously the need at linebacker, but again, it's a fairly deep position in this upcoming draft. I think that there's definitely remains the possibility they could get one later on. Okay, the secondary. It seems like the Raiders have spent so many resources on the secondary and not a whole lot of it's worked out so far. I mean, they brought in Amerson, they brought in Sean Smith. Now both those guys are gone. They didn't work out at all. Reggie Nelson comes over. It hasn't been a great fit for him. Carl Joseph and Obi Melifonwu, first and second round picks. They kind of have yet to make the splash. I think, Melifonwu was hurt a lot last year. Joseph is, from what you've told me and what I've seen, been okay. Gerrion Conley was a first-round pick who was a top-10 player for me. I loved him, and yet he missed basically, I think he played, what, one game last year? So, I mean, he missed almost his entire rookie season. It just hasn't come together in the secondary. Some of it's unlucky. Some of it's poor scouting and evaluating. Now they've got Sharice Wright in here, the old Steeler, Sanquez Golston's hanging around. He never got on the field, speaking of injury-prone guys. Leon Hall from Cincinnati and then has bounced around a couple spots, still hanging on. But there's no real answer opposite Gerrion Conley, right? That's got to be one of the big needs.
Yeah, they signed Rashawn Melvin, and I watched Melvin's film last year, and he looked really, really good. And but obviously, that's just that's 1 year. He kind of bounced around and didn't really play that much until last year, where he got extensive playing time, and he really, really played well. But obviously, he's gonna have to replicate that next year, and he's only on a 1 year deal. So if he ends up playing well, I don't think that the Raiders could afford to sign him to a long-term contract. So secondary is still definitely a need. And I thought Conley played really, really well in that one game he did play against Jets. And all the reports from the Raiders is he was just destroying in minicamp, and they really have no doubt he's going to be a really good player. So they have Conley coming back next year, but they still need to find a nickel corner. And like you mentioned, they signed a bunch of older guys that's going to be competing for that third spot. But I think that drafting a young corner could be really beneficial.
Right. I mean, yeah, good reminder on Melvin too. The depth chart I'm looking at has him listed at the bottom for some reason, probably because he hasn't been assigned a number yet. But yeah, he played really well last year for Indy. Actually had a really good game against Pittsburgh, and Antonio Brown really stood out to me. He could be the answer there. Could alleviate the need to go after one super early, but obviously, like you said, it's still a concern there, especially with the brevity of his deal. So, okay, so we've established all the positions of need kind of on defense for Oakland and all the different directions that they could go. Given who's available on the board, Ted, at this point in the draft, who are you taking with the Oakland Raiders in the 10th overall pick?
Well, first off, I see that Josh Allen hasn't been drafted yet in this mock draft. So what I would do is I would call the Bills and try to trade, get them to trade the ransom to go get Allen, because I guess there's some reports this morning they really do like Allen.
Neither is Baker Mayfield. Baker hasn't been taken either.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Wow,
so
that's
you'd have
surprising.
multiple phone calls in real life.
What I would really want to do is I would want to trade down to the mid first round and pick up Mo Hurst. I mean, I love Mo Hurst, but just based on what I'm seeing, it just doesn't seem like the league is as in love with Mo Hurst as we are. So I think as far as a value thing, I think you could get Mo Hurst if you trade down. And in real life, I think if this scenario did play out, like you said, there you I would definitely be getting some calls right now about trading up. But we're not doing that in this exercise. And so as far as value, I got to go with Denzel Ward, because I see him as a top five pick. I think he's one of the safest picks in the draft, despite his size. I just love his tape. So I got to go with Denzel Ward.
Did you see any concerns? And that's a great pick. I agree. Denzel Ward, he's my CB1. I think he's a really good player. Did you see any concerns on tape? And everybody's talking about the one negative with Denzel Ward. He's an unreal athlete. He's competitive. He tackles. Seems like all the things that you want. but the 183 pounds or whatever he was at the combine, you know, do you, that's unusual for a corner even to be that small. And he doesn't even, I didn't even think he was that small on tape, but did you see anything when you were watching him that caused you to think, you know, this really might be a concern that maybe isn't debilitating, but could be definitely problematic at the NFL level?
Yeah, I didn't see him struggle a lot. I mean, obviously he's, you know, against a big receiver, he could struggle with size, but I think, you know, any corner could struggle with a really big receiver. But I didn't see it. I didn't see it become a huge problem. As far as tackling, he was actually, I thought he was one of the more physical tacklers of any mm-hmm. of the corners that I studied. So it's not a huge concern. I think he could put on some weight onto his frame. Not too much, obviously, because he doesn't want to lose that speed. But it wasn't a concern for me. I just loved his coverage skills. I loved his technique. Loved how competitive he was. Loved how physical he was for a guy his size. And yeah, I don't have concerns with that weight.
And he can play inside. Played inside a good bit a year ago, and some this past year, and that's huge for the Raiders too. Because if Melvin plays outside, having that versatility definitely will be nice, at least for this season. So, yeah, good stuff. Denzel Ward, great pick. The Oakland Raiders take a corner off the board. We still got quarterbacks falling, folks. We knew the Raiders weren't going to take one, but the next two picks could be very interesting. Dolphins and Bills on the clock with two quarterbacks available. This is where we could see perhaps the run start to happen. Obviously, like Ted said, trade-up scenarios in real life would be happening here. But this scenario, you know, it's looking a little more realistic the closer we get to the draft, that at least one quarterback might be slithering down the board a little bit and could be the cause of some trade buzz. So, Ted, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Had a great time. Thanks, Sean.
Yep, no problem. We'll be back, folks. We got the number 11 pick, Ian Wharton, picking for the Miami Dolphins. Really excited to hear what he comes up with for Miami, given who's on the board in this situation. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.